On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Governor Evers signed a bill last month aimed at lowering prescription drug costs. It sets new requirements for pharmacy benefit managers and allows pharmacists to freely tell patients how to save money on their prescriptions. Evers at the signing ceremony at a health clinic in Wausau. This is courtesy of WDJT-TV.
It will save money and put more power in the hands of the pharmacists in the state of Wisconsin.
Where do you see ways to lower drug prices? Should there be more price transparency, more generics, something else? 800-642-1234. Two pharmacists who served on the governor's task force on prescription drug prices. Janet Fritsch is owner of Corner Drug Hometown Pharmacy in Baraboo. Janet, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. We also have Yolanda Tolson-Yvonne, who's in charge of the St. Vincent de Paul Charitable Pharmacy in Madison. Yolanda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, Yolanda, the task force, it met 8 times to talk about the causes of high drug prices and look for possible solutions. What did you take away from these meetings?
One of the things that I really appreciated was the governor assembled almost kind of like a team of rivals. So he had many different stakeholders in the pharmaceutical drug pricing world around the table to kind of develop solutions that were going to work for the majority. So I appreciated that.
You appreciated that also, did you find any common ground in surprising ways when you met with people in other parts of this industry?
Yes, I think we actually were able to achieve a lot. Sometimes the meetings got a little contentious, but I think overall we were united in agreement in the fact that, you know, drug prices remain too high and inaccessible for many.
Janet, what did you learn from this task force on prescription drug prices and serving on it?
I agree with Yolanda that it was beneficial to have lots of people from all of the different parts of the supply chain. So the manufacturers, the PBMs, the pharmacies, and other people. I also liked that they set us up with economists that had done research on the supply chain of prescription drugs. I thought that was very beneficial. It really resonated with me because it showed what my experience has been in terms of pricing and patients and how I get my drugs in my pharmacy. I also liked that they had patients that came in and talked to us, or when it was on Zoom that were on video. And I thought that really brought it down to what our goal was, what all of our goal is to reduce the price for the patient, either in what their copays are or in what our premiums are. And we are all there. We all have premiums. We all have prescriptions.
And when you said PBMs, those are pharmacy benefit managers, and we're going to look at that role in just a moment. But Yolanda, you know, state authorities estimate Wisconsin residents paid over $1.3 billion in 2019 for prescription drugs. What stories did you hear from people who came before the task force who have struggled to pay for medications?
We had a couple of families talk to us in particular about their struggles in paying for insulin in particular, which is a life-saving and necessary medication. They shared their compelling stories and their challenges, the challenges that they faced. We had one young man who was in his 20s, and his mother was in the healthcare industry, and in spite of that, they struggled mightily to make sure that he had care and was able to receive the insulin, and it changed his even life planning around his future because he was worried about not being able to afford this insulin that he needed to live, really.
insulin, such a huge issue. Janet, you know, what are you seeing there in terms of insulin affordability and what steps Wisconsin could take?
So in my store, I mean, diabetes is such a widespread condition, and diabetes, you don't just get one drug for that. You get a couple things, a couple different insulins. You might get other injectables, not to mention the oral drugs that you get. Plus, most diabetics also are getting blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication. So it's not just one, it's many. And a lot of people these days have high deductibles. Box of insulin, you know, that's $600. Well, we definitely see tons of people that get two or three boxes of insulin every month, in addition to all the other things. You're talking about thousands of dollars a month in just the prescriptions themselves. And I hear people talk about decreasing their insulin. I see that they don't fill it often enough. And I know that they're doing that because then it will decrease their price. I see people in my store that say, well, I can only take that box of insulin, not the other one, not this week. I'll try to get that one next week. Well, that means they're not using it. So that puts that person at risk. They may end up in the ER. They may have additional health concerns because of that.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about ways to address prescription drug prices on the State Capitol Report. We have two pharmacists who served on a state task force on this issue. Janet Fritsch there from Corner Drug Hometown Pharmacy in Baraboo. Yolanda Tolson-Yvonne from St. Vincent de Paul Charitable Pharmacy in Madison. And gathering your thoughts, how would you like to see the state address drug prices? Do you forego certain meds because you can't afford them? How has that affected your health? Join in at 800-642-1234. Yolanda, we heard from MG and DePeer, called in, couldn't stay with us, and wants to know more about generic drugs. And MG wonders, are they as effective as the brand name drugs? Why are they cost so much less, and where are they made?
There's a lot of good questions there. Generic drugs, oftentimes, are even made by the brand name manufacturers, but the generic drugs have the benefit of not having to pay for the research and development that went into the creation of the brand name original source drug. So they are able to basically gain access to the recipe and make their own. The generic companies are able to make their own versions of the medications that are out there, and they can do that at a considerably cheaper price. And that price can be passed on to the consumer.
And are they made where the brand name drug would be made? Or, you know, is there anything different in terms of where this drug these generics come from?
Well, the generic drug manufacturers are all over. Mm-hmm. Some are in the United States and some are outside of the country.
Janet,
but they do have to go through testing.
No, that's okay. You know, Janet, earlier you mentioned PBMs, the acronym for Pharmacy Benefit Managers. Governor Evers signed into law a bill that requires pricing disclosures from pharmacy benefit managers. How would this address drug prices?
So currently, PBMs are companies that work with insurance companies. So you pay your premium to an insurance company. The insurance company contracts out with a PBM who works with the prescription part of your insurance. And so they negotiate with manufacturers to bring down prices, and they also make contracts with pharmacies. So they work between those two entities. PBMs pretty much set the prices for things between them and the manufacturers. So, but no, there's not much transparency in that entire process. So if we could have more transparency, then the idea is that we would know more about what's going on, and that would bring down prices.
There's also something that didn't get a green light, which is in regulating pharmacy benefit managers, is something called patient steerage or prescription drug steerage. Yolanda, can you tell us more about what is patient steerage?
I I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay.
As it's defined.
Yeah, I mean, this practice with PBMs, are you familiar, Janet, with, encouraging patients to buy meds at stores owned by PBMs for lower prices?
So PBMs usually have their own pharmacy. There's three major PBMs in the United States that have 80% of the business, and they also are connected with their own pharmacies. So they can set preferred networks where patients get a better price if they go to that pharmacy. It means that other pharmacies like my own can't always serve the patients that they've been serving depending on what insurance company they have. And sometimes my pharmacy is not able to get into that preferred network. So it does steer patients to those pharmacies or their mail order pharmacies and will not allow patients to come to a store such as mine.
How does that impact you and your operations?
Well, it definitely affects me in terms of business and how much business I get. But more importantly, it means that patients don't have the choice of where they can get their prescriptions. So they have to go to certain places, which might not be a good fit for them. There are certainly a lot of people, vulnerable populations, that mail order just is not a good option. I get questions every single week about what prescriptions people got from their mail order, what they look like, what the directions are, that they didn't come in the mail and now they don't know what to do, or they don't know how to take it, or I think people probably don't ask the question and then they really don't know. It really keeps them from having a personal relationship with their pharmacist, which for many of these vulnerable people, that's really important.
We have pharmacist Janet Fritsch, who owns a local pharmacy in Baraboo. Pharmacist Yolanda Tolson-Yvonne runs a charitable pharmacy in Madison. What questions do you have about how the drug supply chain works? What should lawmakers do to regulate the industry? Pharmacists and physicians, what advice do you have for the state to reduce consumer prices? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about prescription drug costs on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The governor's task force on reducing prescription drug prices, it met 8 times to discuss potential policy options from November 2019 through last summer. Then in October, they presented their findings and recommendations in a report that was over 150 pages. How do you want the state to address drug prices? Do you forego certain meds or cut pills in half because you can't afford them? It's 800-642-1234. We have pharmacists Janet Fritsch of Baraboo and Yolanda Tolson-Yvonne of Madison. They were on the task force. They're with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Gary now in Iron River. Hi, Gary. What has your experience been like?
Well, good morning. Some years ago, I was prescribed a generic drug that was on a long list of drugs that Walmart would sell for $10 a prescription. That was less than my insurance copay, so I was just going to pay for it. When I went to try and buy it from Walmart, I was told that Wisconsin had a law that prevented them from selling that one or some of those drugs on that list for that price because it was below market price. And I understand that's probably an issue between prices they want to charge and what independent pharmacies have to charge. But it increased the cost for me to get the drug, that's for sure.
Yeah, Gary, what did you ultimately do?
I bought it through the insurance company and paid the $17 copay for a drug I could have bought for $10 at Walmart.
Janet, what are your thoughts here?
So there have been regulations by PBMs or regulations that PBMs would not allow pharmacists to tell patients when there was a cheaper alternative. So if either there was a drug that was similar and it was cheaper, or if it was just cheaper than paying their insurance copay, we actually weren't allowed to tell patients that. We would get calls from the insurance companies telling us they would cancel our contract if we did that. This law actually stops that. So there is no longer a gag clause. So we now are able to tell our patients what is the cheaper alternative for them. In Gary's case, I don't exactly know why they weren't able to sell it for the $10, but now there is no gag clause because of this law.
Yolanda, are gag orders ever an issue in your work?
No, they're not, actually, because we're dealing with the folks that don't have insurance at all. And so we serve as we're considered the safety net. So we're able to take care of the folks that don't have the insurance. So in some ways, it's simpler. The problem for us is that a lot of folks don't know about us, that we exist and that we're here to help as well. So we're not competing against pharmacies like the independent pharmacy that Janet runs, nor the big box, Walgreens and chain pharmacies. We're actually trying to take care of the folks that they can't. So it's really about us all working together to kind of work on managing this very huge and important issue.
Yolanda, a majority of the task force supported increasing funds for free and charitable clinics like yours. Could that have an impact beyond the consumers who receive their medications from these clinics?
I do believe so. There are over 100 free and charitable clinics throughout the state. And again, I think a lot of people don't know that we exist. And our purpose is really to kind of work alongside the patients to really help provide folks the care that they need in tandem with other providers throughout the community. So I think that there's a role for us that is kind of not fully realized.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about ideas to address prescription drug prices on the State Capitol Report. We have two pharmacists who served on a task force on this issue, Yolanda Tolson-Yvonne of Madison, Janet Fritch of Baraboo, and your thoughts on prescription drug prices and how you go about getting your prescriptions filled. 800-642-1234. Janet, the task force supported creating a government-run entity to allow greater leverage in drug purchasing power. And this entity would initially serve government purchasers. How would this work?
So there are other states that have used this and have been somewhat successful in it. I don't think that it's been used very long. So there wasn't a ton of evidence as to how much it would reduce the prices. But the idea is that because the state is a large buyer of mm-hmm. prescription drugs for state employees and other state-run agencies, that then because of that large purchasing power, they would be able to lower prescription prices.
Okay, so having a much larger pool of people in there would give them leverage in purchasing. Josh is joining us from Sturtevant. Josh, hi. What is your question?
Well, I'm definitely for some kind of reform when it comes to pricing. I actually have to take Eliquist because for some reason I get blood clots. And in fact, I get them even on Eliquist, which is what I guess the point of what I'm about to say. Eliquis without insurance is like $400 a bottle, and they have this coupon program that you're supposed to be on, and if you miss renewing that, which I just did because I wasn't home when the mail came through for the time period to get it like done, I now am trying to figure out how to take what I have left. I'm supposed to take two a day. I'm taking one a day, and I'm not taking them on Saturday and Sundays even, because I have to somehow, according to this coupon thing, stretch that for the next 6 months unless I want to be paying $400 a bottle. And in comparison with the coupon, it's $10 a bottle.
Wow.
So I'm all for something changing when it comes to how this works.
Yolanda, can you weigh in there on Josh's situation?
Sure. All of the drug companies do have not only for, they have an indigent patient assistance program. You can go on a website called needymeds.org. And they have many programs actually, specific to the drug, that provide assistance for folks. And some of them are geared towards folks that don't have insurance, but there are other programs that do help folks that are like, for example, in the donut hole, or they have also become more generous in terms of the income requirements to provide access to those medications. You can also go directly to the manufacturers, and they have coupon cards too. Another thing, asking providers for samples, if they do have samples of some of the medications, that's also another option that you can explore. But I would recommend going into needymeds.org. There are several programs, oftentimes, for many of the drugs that are out there. So
yeah,
if you need help, I can help with that offline.
Well, Janet and Yolanda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Pharmacists Janet Fritsch and Yolanda Tolson-Yvonne, they served on the Governor's Task Force on Prescription Drug Prices. They are from Corner Drug Hometown Pharmacy in Baraboo and St. Vincent de Paul Charitable Pharmacy in Madison, respectively. And for disclosure, St. Vincent de Paul of Madison is a business sponsor of WPR. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with State Senator Van Wongard. News update is next on the Ideas Network.